It was late when my friend returned, and I could see by a glance at his haggard and anxious face that the high hopes with which he had started had not been fulfilled. For an hour he droned away upon his violin, endeavoring to soothe his own ruffled spirits. At last he flung down the instrument and plunged into a detailed account of his misadventures. "It's all gone wrong, Watson. All as wrong as it can go. I kept a bold face before Lestrade, but upon my soul, I believe that for once the fellow is on the right track, and we on the wrong. All my instincts are one way and all the facts are the other, and I much fear that British juries have not yet attained that pitch of intelligence when they will give preference to my theories over Lestrade's facts. Did you go to Blackheath?" "Yes, Watson, I went there, and I found very quickly that the late lamented Oldacre was a pretty considerable blackguard. The father was away in search of his son. The mother was at home, a little, fluffy, blue-eyed person, in a tremor of fear and indignation. Of course, she would not admit even the possibility of his guilt, but she would not express either surprise or regret over the fate of Oldacre. On the contrary, she spoke of him with such bitterness that she was unconsciously considerably strengthening the case of the police. For, of course, if her son had heard her speak of the man in this fashion, it would predispose him toward hatred and violence."
"He was more like a malignant and cunning ape than a human being," said she, "and he always was, ever since he was a young man."
"You knew him at that time?" said I.
"Yes, I knew him well. In fact, he was an old suitor of mine. Thank heaven I had the sense to turn away from him, and to marry a better, if a poorer, man. I was engaged to him, Mr. Holmes, when I heard a shocking story of how he had turned a cat loose in an aviary, and I was so horrified at his brutal cruelty that I would have nothing more to do with him."
She rummaged in a bureau, and presently she produced a photograph of a woman, shamefully defaced and mutilated with a knife.
"That is my own photograph," she said. "He sent it to me in that state, with his curse, upon my wedding morning."
"Well," said I, "at least he has forgiven you now, since he has left all his property to your son."
"Neither my son nor I want anything from Jonas Oldacre, dead or alive," she cried, with a proper spirit. "There is a God in heaven, Mr. Holmes, and that same God who has punished that wicked man will show in his own good time that my son's hands are guiltless of his blood."
"Well, I tried one or two leads, but I could get at nothing which would help our hypothesis in several points which would make it against it. I gave it up at last, and off I went to Norwood. This place, Deepdene House, is a big modern villa of staring brick, standing back in its own grounds with a laurel-clumped lawn in front of it. To the right, and some distance back from the road, was the timber yard which had been the scene of the fire. Here's a rough plan on a leaf of my notebook. This window on the left is the one which opens into Oldacre's room. You can look into it from the road, you see. That is about the only bit of consolation I have had today. Lestrade was not there, but his head constable did the honors. They had just made a great treasure trove. They had spent the morning raking among the ashes of the burned wood pile. And besides the charred organic remains, they had secured several discolored metal discs. I examined them with care, and there was no doubt that they were trouser buttons. I even distinguished that one of them was marked with the name of Hyams, who was Oldacre's tailor. I then worked the lawn very carefully for signs and traces, but this drought has made everything as hard as iron. Nothing was to be seen save that some body or bundle had been dragged through a low privet hedge which is in a line with the woodpile. All that, of course, fits in with the official theory. I crawled about the lawn with an August sun on my back, but I got up at the end of an hour, no wiser than before.